All right, kiddos, come on, join me up here. All right. Okay, I've got a story to tell you today, and we're going to look at the candles over here again. This will be the last Sunday that we have the four outside candles burning. But do y'all remember what those candles represent? Let's see if we can remember. The first candle that we lighted was the prophet's candle. Second one was what?
Angels.
Third candle?
Shepherds.
Fourth candle?
Magi.
And Christmas Eve?
The Christ,
that's right. The Messiah. Man, y'all did very well. You learned a lot. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the rest of the story. You know, the Magi came. They came from the east. And they got there anywhere from several months. It had to be at least 42 days later when they got there, because Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus had gone to Jerusalem, and they came back. They came back to Bethlehem. Now, you remember all the places that they've been? They came from Nazareth. Then they came to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. Remember that? That's where Nazareth is. After Jesus was born, they went to Jerusalem there 8 days later. They came back later on to Bethlehem, and they were living there. The scripture says they were living in a house by this time. And now Herod knew about the baby Jesus being born and that a king was being born. How did he find that out? Do you remember? Yeah? Yeah, the Magi, the wise men, told him that we've come to worship this king. And so, do you know what happened with Joseph after that? Do you remember, Will? That's right.
Go to Egypt.
That's right. And they went down to Egypt. And then what happened while they were down in Egypt? Do you remember?
The angel came in his dream again and told him to go to...
To come back. And to go to Nazareth. That's where... And so that's how we can say Jesus was... he was called a Nazarene. He was born in Bethlehem, and he came out of Egypt. Think of that. Now, some people read that when you read that. Remember the prophet's candle? We read about the prophecies, all the prophecies. They'd read those prophecies and say, how can that be true? But I just showed you how it was true. Now, I want to read you the last verse of chapter 2 in Matthew, where it says, three verses. So Joseph got up, and this is when Herod is dead, and Herod killed all those children in Bethlehem. We call it the slaying of the innocents. All those that were 2 years and younger, he killed all of them. But when he was dead, here's what happened. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, and they came into the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee, and he came and he lived in a city named Galilee. Did you say Effingham?
No!
Oh, I thought you said Effingham. In Nazareth, that's right. I'm teasing you, Jimmy. I'm teasing you, buddy. I love you. And they came and lived in a city called Nazareth. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Good, Will, real good. That he shall be called a Nazarene. So what we've done all this month since Thanksgiving, as I've showed you how we've gone all around And we have come right back to what God said would happen. Do you get it? That's right. That's right. And so what would Jesus grow up to do? Well, that's right. By dying on the cross. And God went to all this trouble for us. Because He loves us that much. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for these children. I thank You, Lord, for teaching us through Your Word. Lord, it is absolutely true in every detail. Lord, for each one of these boys that here sit at my feet right now, I thank You for the gift they are, and all the other children that are here today, the gift they are, what a blessing they are to our lives. Lord, truly teach them so they can grow in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. God bless you. Well, who knows what will be back there when you get back there. You might have a surprise. Well, good morning to all of you. Did you have enough to eat? I especially like fried rice for breakfast. It just did my heart good. I can't tell you. I'll be able to start 2015 right now. Just right with the Lord and right with His people. Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much. What a blessing. Blessing you are. Is Linda McCusker in here? Is she in the back? Well, when y'all see Linda, you need to speak to her. I don't know why I was thinking about this last night. I was trying to figure out how many muffins Linda must have made. It had to be thousands and thousands of muffins that have come, and sweet tea. You know, and I'm just hoping both of those things are going to be in heaven. A number of you have asked about Audrey's mom, and I wanted to tell you. Daniel, are you okay? Okay. Do you need somebody to take you to the back? Okay. Would one of y'all... Dane's going to take you. Go back with Dane, okay? Lord, we pray You watch over Daniel. You put Your healing hand on him right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just trying to think if... I'm coming back to that. I'm not ADD. I was trying to think in some of the other churches I pastored if I ever would have done something like that. And the answer would have been no. What a blessing. A blessing. Audrey's mom, if you go, she's not where you can really visit her now, but if you do go to the hospital at another time to visit, her first name is Meldrum. It's Meldrum Ann Wells. And Audrey didn't get that name. She got Lou from her grandmother, Minnie Lou, telling all the family secrets. But Miss Ann has been in ICU since Tuesday. She went in the hospital by ambulance on Monday. Probably should have been in the hospital last week. She has double pneumonia. And she's maybe a little bit better, but she's really having a tough time right now. She needs your prayers. She is, I like what Japheth Amati said to me day before yesterday. That's
Kennedy's uncle, and Clement's brother, younger brother. He said, Dusty, God is going to place his hand upon your mother. He is not going to let you lose another mother. And I said, Japheth, I'm going to take that to the bank and trust that that is from the Lord's lips to your ears and then to my ears. So y'all pray for Miss Ann. She loved me a long time before Audrey ever did. Can I get a witness on that? She's the only reason why she talked Audrey into going out with me a second time after I didn't do so well on our first date. I was more interested in jokes and practical jokes and all that. Imagine that. Right. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2. As you're turning there, today we're going to talk about Magi. There's a few things I wanted to share with you that I think are very meaningful for us today and applicable for us. So, John, you can title this one, The Magi. You have Matthew's account, which is a very Jewish account in the Gospels of the birth of Jesus. And you see that as he traces the genealogy in chapter 1 and the conception and birth of Jesus that he covers in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, this story. Now, I'm going to read you the story, but before I read you the story in detail, think about how much legend surrounds the Magi. Now, first of all, why do we call them Magi? Because the Greek word is magoi, which transliterated into English would be M-A-G-O-I. It's plural of, it's the root word from which we get our word magician. Majesty comes from that. Now, some of the translations translate it wise men. ESV does that, several others. The NASB says magi. Think of all the legend that surrounds them. We're going to look at some of it in just a minute, like where they come from, you know, the majesty about them, the things that that are curious about them. And as we read the story, I want you to listen to the detail. Listen to the detail in the story, okay? Verse 1, chapter 2 in Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, got the picture? This group, however large it was not three guys on camels, okay? It was larger than that. They probably had an entourage with them. We're probably talking about at least 20 people, but probably more than that, 50, 60, 70 that have arrived, and they're being received as representatives from another nation, another place. That's how they're being received. We're not talking about a personal visit here. We're talking about a state visit. Got the picture? Okay. Because it colors the rest of the story if you don't understand that. They arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now imagine what that question would do. Where is he that has been born king of the Jews? So think of all the questions that come to your mind out of that. Well, how would they know that? Who are they talking about? And you know, just what are the details of this? And they said, we've come to worship him. So now we've gone from he's a king, but he is a king worthy of worship. That takes it into a new category. Worship means deity. Get the picture? Every word is important in this passage. And when Herod the king, this king, you know, they're saying, where is he? And he's saying, well, what am I, chopped liver? Herod the king heard this. He was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, what was Herod's reputation of being troubled? If he's troubled, what happens to people? They're like in The Godfather, you know. When Vito says, you know, I have a bone to pick with you, your life expectancy is not very long, is it? So Herod, I mean, he killed relatives, he killed children. I mean, it was not a stretch to see him, you know, do the slaying of the innocents, that killing all those children. That was a walk in the park for him. And all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. So when he's troubled, you can see how it's multiplied to everyone else. How's this going to affect me? So gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, these are the religious people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was going to be born. The Messiah. So, what has he made the connection that they're talking about here? That these magi that have come, who are they talking about? Well, there's only one person they could be talking about, and it's the Messiah that is spoken of through the prophets that they've been looking for. That every little Jewish girl that has ever been born since Abraham has been looking forward to, am I going to be the one who will be the mother of Messiah? Am I going to be this one? So there's a lot that when you use one word like that, Matthew uses that word Messiah, it's a charged word. It's a word that carries all of this history and meaning. So he inquires of them, this is Herod, where the Messiah is going to be born. Now, so what do they do? Where do they consult? Do they have to go somewhere else? Where do they look? Look at the next verse. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. So, where have they gone? They go to the scroll and they see what it says there in Micah. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. And the likelihood is that these religious guys, these scribes, were quoting from memory what they knew. They knew where he was going to be born. They knew what the prophecy said in Bethlehem. So then Herod, being the grand manipulator and politician and liar that he was, He secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. What's he trying to determine? How old is the child? When did you see the star? See, he's no dummy. He's no idiot. He at least knows who to ask to get the right answers to his question. Verse 8, so he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the child. Now, here's another thing. Now, Matthew's writing this in Greek. He is writing it in Greek, a very precise language. It is no accident that the New Testament is written in Greek. It is very precise, extremely precise. And it says, go carefully and look carefully for the child. And it's like you underline it. The child, this one, the one and only, the Messiah. When you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. What has he just done? He's lied. He's not interested in worshiping this child. He's interested in doing what he has done to every other religious, political, economic, fill in the blank, enemy that he has ever had. And that is to murder. After hearing the king, the Magi went their way, and the star, which had been seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. I'm not going to give you all the explanations, the possibilities of the star. That's a sermon for another day. But the star, it says, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now here you're building one adjective upon another, one adverbial expression upon adjective, you know, as we do it in English. And you're describing, so how happy were they? They were jumping up and down happy. Imagine it. These guys, imagine now, and in just a minute I'm going to show you a map and show you possibly where they came from and how long they have been traveling and how long they have anticipated this and how long the Lord has been dealing with them and how long this has been going on in their lives. And now, bingo, bango, there we are, bam. The star is there directly over where the child is. Not the baby. The child. Verse 11. And after coming into the house, not the stable, not the however, whichever thing that you buy into what they were in, was it something that looked like something we got on the front lawn there? You know, we do these for pictures of in people's mind, but or was it something dug out in the side of a hill, a little grotto kind of a place in the side of the hill, or was it the downstairs of a building where people would live up here and they'd keep their animals down here? Was it that kind of thing? Any of those possibilities, there are probably a couple more possibilities of what it could look like. But be that as it may, they've come to the house now where the child is. And they saw, again, the child. The precision of the language is there's an article that is written in there that's assumed. They could have just said child, but he used the article to say the child.
the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground. And what did they do? They worshiped him. Now, when they came to Jerusalem and they saw King Herod, what did they do with Herod? Did they fall down on the ground? He was a king. No. So they're seeing the deity of this child. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold. You know what that is. Frankincense, which is an incense that is used in worship. We'll talk about it in a little bit more in just a minute. And myrrh, an anointing kind of oil that they used in burial. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left their own country for their own country by another way. And when they were gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Now, all sorts of legends about the Magi. And people will go back for centuries. By the 3rd century, they were being called kings in the 200s A.D. By the 500s A.D., the 6th century, they had names. Know their names? Melchior, Balthasar, and Gaspar. Melchior from Persia, Balthasar from Arabia, and Gaspar from India. Now, the relics concerning them here in the 5th century, by the 5th century, were later taken to another city in Europe in the 12th century, and they're still there today. People are attached to these. But wouldn't your imagination kind of run wild with these three guys? Let me ask you, are shepherds very colorful? They kind of drab, kind of got the same, kind of all look alike, you know, kind of thing. But here are guys who in our imagination, you know, they could afford a little more color. And they just invite more imagination. I want to say to you, I'm saying that to you today because, you know, we don't need to just bust on our generation and say, well, you know, we've imagined all these things about Magi. They've been doing that. Christians have been doing that since the time they came. All sorts. And there are some very old, old legends about them. And just because it's real old doesn't mean it's true. I mean, you can tell a lie for a long time. And not to say any of this is true. We don't know. Who were they? And where did they come from? Well, I'm going to give you some of my opinion about it today. The Bible says they came from the east. Hit that map, John. Oh boy, it's been tempting not to play with this thing before now. Can you imagine I've had that in my pocket since before breakfast. And the only person that I tried to get with it was Dale and Don. They were talking back there. I managed to distract them one time. But, okay. Now, it says, now here we are, here is where Bethlehem is, right here. This is the Fertile Crescent, Tigris and Euphrates rivers here, you know, Middle East, Egypt down here. This is the area of Babylon, Mesopotamia. You know, this is where, you know, you had the Babylonian kingdom, and then the Medes came in, and then the Persians took over. Now, east, if you go east from here, you see where you can run into? You can go a lot of, there are legends. One legend I read that has the Magi coming from China. But here's what I believe. I believe they came from right here in this area, in the area of Babylon, of Persia, what we would call today. They were philosophers. They were learned men. They were astronomers. They were astrologers. All mixed in one. If you go back to the book of Daniel, and by the way, the book of Daniel is a very important book in the Bible. Very important book in the Bible. It foretells many things. We've done studies of Daniel. It foretells many things. In fact, it has a blueprint there of the kingdoms that would come in the world history that would take place from the time when the Jews went back to when they were in Babylonian captivity and they went back to the Promised Land. There's a map there. What was Daniel's role in the kingdom there when he was with the Babylonians, the Medians, and the Persians? What was his role? He was a governmental officer. He rose to the highest position in the kingdom. He interpreted dreams for the king. There's very good foundation that you can make a case for Daniel raising up a group of these guys who would be there to advise the king and to interpret dreams. It'd be very easy for me to believe that they had learned all about this Jewish Messiah. You know, how long were they over in Babylon? How long was the Babylonian captivity? What, John? 70 years. Did more Jews stay longer than 70 years? Did some Jews stay there permanently? Yeah. In fact, we have a Jewish feast that has its origin over there. Coming up in February. It'd be very easy for me to believe that these guys came from that, and that prophecy about the coming Messiah was passed down through Daniel to a group that had its roots right here, and that God was speaking to them. And not only just speaking historically, but bringing them up to the present time. Now, you know, one of Daniel's titles was Rab Magi, which means head or chief of the Magi. Did you know that? That's one of his titles. Now, here are these guys. They see this star. We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I read you the story. Herod is threatened by them. He feels like his kingdom would be threatened. They go and immediately see Messiah. How would they know that this is the one they're looking for? How would they know that? The star stops there. But imagine how the Lord is bearing witness to them personally. They are personally validating that He indeed is this King that they've been looking for. Now, they brought three gifts. That's where we get the idea that there were three of them. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These happen to represent several things. Now, well, let me give you some of the picture. The Bible is replete, just like I gave you that, just using the name Messiah brings several paragraphs of explanation. So when you use these items, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these were common items that would be brought, you know, uncommon for common people, but commonly brought as a gift, as gifts to a king. But what did they mean? What did each one of these picture? Well, I believe in these we have the picture of Jesus' roles as prophet, priest, and king. Let's look at it and see. The gold. When you think of gold, what do you think of? You think of a king, a gold crown on his head. When you think of frankincense, that's that incense that you think of deity, you think of this priestly office that he would have, that Jesus, he is our king. When he came the first time, he set up his kingdom where? In our hearts. Paul said, your body is the temple of God. So we set up his kingdom. When he comes back the second time, where is he going to set up his kingdom? Right here on this earth. He's going to set up this physical kingdom. So here is him as king, seeing this child, this, the Christ, as the promised king. Promised from ages past. Frankincense would show his priestly duty. And what does a priest do? He is one who steps in the gap. He is a connector. And what would Jesus do? He would connect God and man. He would be the one who would be the go-between God and man. He would do for man what his Father desired of him to do that man could not do for himself. Do you see it? And then the myrrh, an anointing oil that you used in burial. And here is a prophecy. Here is him as prophet, prophesying. What would this person do? And it's hard to imagine. Just like it was hard for Jews to think of as Messiah being king, but also Isaiah 53, when he would come as a suffering servant, and he would suffer for our sin. He would be buried. I don't know if you noticed in the song you sang, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," the three verses that follow about gold and frankincense and myrrh talk about his role in those three offices. Does this make sense to you? In this way, we see that Jesus is a fulfillment of all that was promised. Now, what does the whole story have to do with us? Say, oh, Dusty, that's good. Good information, good stuff. Got to see you play with some maps. You like to play with maps and history and all that stuff. You're a history buff, and all this is fascinating to you. You must entertain yourself late at night a lot of times with when you're not listening to Amish bass music. Blunch. Three of you got that one. I'll explain it to you later. You're entertaining yourself with history. What does it mean to you, though? First of all, up till the time the Magi come, it's all Jewish. Throw a Gentile in here, there, but for the most part, the whole part
of the birth of Messiah is all Jewish up to this time. Enter the Magi, and suddenly it's Gentile. Do you see the parallelism here? Do you see the completion of the story? That he didn't, that Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. He came for all of us who would then be grafted in, us Gentiles, non-Jews, who'd be grafted in. You see, the messianic announcement, I believe, there's a lot of parallelism about these two cities too. Jerusalem over here and Babylon over here. In fact, one author has made this statement. He said, you know, history, you can also almost view history as a tale of two cities. Jerusalem and Babylon. God's plan and the world. And what do we say here? We say God and not God. But see, even from the Gentile world is coming this validation. God is no respecter of persons. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking that this message is not for you, you've missed it. Look at the trouble to which the Lord went to make sure that we knew that this gospel, this good news of the Messiah who would come and save us from our sins. That's what his name means, Yeshua. He would come and save his people. That he is for us, all of us. No matter the color of our skin, no matter what part of the world we have come from, Jew or Greek, Gentile, free or slave. The gospel is for all. Now, the gospel is not only for the down and outs, but it's also for the up and outs. And I'll add a third one. It's for the over and outs. You're not too crazy for Jesus. We also see represented in the Magi the scientific world and the academic world. And here is the scientific and academic world doing what? The star is over the child. And what do? They bow down and they worship him. And let me tell you, if you are a true scientist and you are a true academic, when you look at the evidence, as Josh McDowell says, the evidence of this world and this creation demands a verdict, and the verdict is, I bow to you, Jesus. You are Lord of all. That's what he calls you to do with your life. Everything about you. I want you to see how then, if indeed those Magi came from here and came across the Fertile Crescent traveling to here, look at the unity and the cyclical nature of the message that keeps rolling through history. God revealing himself to man over and over and over again. How is he revealing himself to you? This Christmas season, don't miss the Christ. Don't miss Messiah. This isn't just a beautiful kid's story. It's a story about life and about life eternal. It comes through the only one who can give life. And that's our Lord Jesus. Joseph was a man of faith. When he heard from the Lord, imagine all these signs and wonders he has produced. And by the way, what do you think Joseph did with that gold? Let me ask you. They've already had the shakedown by the government, right? Taxes. That's already taken place. The shakedown has happened. You know, they come to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. So if they have any money, how are they going to get down to Egypt, make this trip down to Egypt? God provided. He had gold. Frankincense. It has a lot of medical properties, by the way, also. Healing properties. Which was probably used by Mary in that. And the myrrh, man, that could be some tired feet. Nice to rub them down with some oil. Now, I don't know that that's what they did with all those things, but if you're wondering, can God provide for you? I guarantee you. He didn't really. They came back. They moved to Nazareth. Jesus grew up. At the age of 12, he goes on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and he wows the intelligentsia of the day with what he knows. And he grows in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and approximately at the age of 30, launches his public ministry. John the Baptizer going before him. 3 years of a public ministry, and he goes to a cross and dies in our place, the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was buried, and 3 days later, He arose from the dead. He ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And one day, real soon, He is coming again. There you have it. What a beautiful story. And it's got a happy ending if you trust Him and believe in Him and give Him your life. Have you? Let's bow our heads. We'll open the altar now. Maybe you'd like to come and spend some time with the Lord. If you've never received Him, today be the day. We'll be here to receive you. If you want to come and pray, the altar will be open. Lord, thank You for this beautiful story. Thank You for speaking to us and through us. I ask You now, Lord. Ask You. Lord, burn our hearts with this message. In Jesus' name. Dane and I will be here. If you want someone to pray with you, the altar is open. If you'd like to bring an offering to the Lord today, those cards, there's a basket in the back, and baskets up here. We'll receive those now.
I just wanted to thank everybody that's been praying for me for such a long time. I did have jaw surgery in late October. It took years and years for somebody to finally diagnose me correctly. All the facial pain I've had for years, had so many different tests done, saw so many doctors, I mean, literally years. some of them just sent me home, didn't know what to do with me, and finally determined that my jaw was so messed up that it was causing pressure on all my nerves, and that's what caused all the facial pain. And the surgery was brutal. The recovery was very, very difficult. I didn't know it was going to be so bad, but I'm on the other side of that. And I am praising God and thanking Him. It is a miracle in my life. I just said for so long, I want my life back. And I've got my life back. I don't have pain in my face anymore.
Praise God.
I have numbness. I can live with numbness. That's nothing. I never thought this would happen. And it just gets better and better. There's still a small area that, you know, is a tiny bit of discomfort, little bit of, you know, that's going to get better too. And I told my surgeon if he could get rid of the fibromyalgia, we'd really have something going, you know. But I can't complain about the fibromyalgia. I can manage that. And I just want to thank you for your prayers and your support, and those of you that have asked about me and wondered, and thank you. So praise God.
Hey. Oh, Dr. Jesus does a good job, doesn't he? Woo! Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to send you out. If you didn't get a chance to drop off your card or your offer, you can do that on the way out. And someone earlier had a big fat check they wanted to. I think it had a bunch of zeros on it. I wanted to let you know their baskets are right there and back there, okay? Yes, Pastor, that's religious humor there. But we're praying. And seriously, those of you that wanted to, if you got something you want to get in before the end of the year, have it credited for this year, you know, make sure you date your check accordingly so we can get it in this year. And the Lord bless you today as you go. God bless you. And thank you. Thank you to all of you who helped. I think about all the things that have happened in the last month, you know, all the things that we've done as a body, as a church, all the hundreds and hundreds of people that have been touched in this city because of you, and I bless you today. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Lord, we now ask you to send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of Yeshua, the Messiah, and under your authority, Yahweh, our Father. Amen.